In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. So we continue with the beginning here. We're on volume 17, 5, 1, 1925. So Jesus just talks about his mission. And his mission was to redeem. And now he wants us to get ready for this new and divine way of holiness. So he ends by saying this about his mission. He says, this was even more convenient to me, who was to be the new son of the soul. So the son of my divine will is Jesus. But who reflects that son, who possesses that son, is Our Lady and now Luisa. And who was to give light to all of humanity, to embrace all of humanity with my divine light, to bring all of humanity to the supreme majesty, offering to the Heavenly Father, to this divine majesty of the Father, an act from myself that would contain all the acts of all humans, and to make the superabundant light of my divinity descend upon everyone in order to rescue them. So as Jesus said to Luisa, the reason for redemption was to get everyone to begin to live this resurrected life. He wants us to enter into this abundant life. So he says, in addition to me, there was my celestial mother, Mary, who received the unique mission as mother of God, of a son, and the office of co-redemptrix of mankind. So we see here that Our Lady, co-redemptrix, advocate, and with Christ is coming. Jesus speaks of it very clearly, and he tells us that he wants us to understand this unique mission of Mary, the mother of a God son. Mary, who has the office of co-redemptrix of all of humanity. And this is why it's so great to be Catholic, to embrace this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. It's a new beginning for everyone and for everything, to have Mary as our mother. For Our Lady's mission of divine maternity, Our Lady was enriched with so much grace that all the other creatures combined, both celestial and terrestrial, could never be able to equal the Blessed Mother. But this was not enough to draw the Word of God into her maternal womb. It was necessary that the mother put in action all this abyss of graces and gifts by embracing all of humanity, loving all of humanity, repairing and adoring the supreme majesty for all of humanity in such a way as to accomplish herself all that the human generations owed to God. So here you have Jesus doing it as the Son of God. And Mary, who, when we read the prodigies, if you haven't read the prodigies of the Blessed Mother, read the prodigies of the Blessed Mother. It is something that is astonishing. It's to begin to understand this beautiful mother, this beautiful soul, Our Lady, and then all her titles, Queen of Peace, Queen of Mercy, Queen of Sorrows, all her titles, repairing and redoing the adoring of the supreme majesty for everyone and for everything. She says, when she was created, she saw, when you read the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, if you're reading that this month, every day you get closer to who Our Lady is, how magnificent she is, what a wonderful mother she is. She repairing and redoing the supreme majesty for all humanity in such a way as to accomplish herself all the human generations that they, what they owed to God. I remember one woman, her son was causing her a lot of trouble. This mother was such a good mother that when I talked to her, I said, you know, you have other children that are very, very good, you know, and you seem to be leaning more towards this one who's disordered. I said, why do you do this? And she says, she said, you know, this child is my son. And I was really taken aback because all that this son put her through was awful. Yet she loved her son with a love that of a mother. And this is the thing we have to understand. Our Lady loves us all. We know she knows us. She knows our misery. She knows our human inadequacy. She knows our sinfulness. But she loves us. She wants us to be with her Son. She wants to be us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. She wants us to be in the kingdom with the Father. Again, this is why when we read this, preparing and adoring the Supreme Majesty for everyone in such a way as to accomplish herself all that the human generations owed to God. Therefore, in Our Lady's virginal heart, she had an inexhaustible vein for God and for all humanity. And when divinity found in this virgin this compensation for the love of all of humanity, God felt enraptured. God formed in her its conception, that is the incarnation of the word, Jesus Christ. She was in the likeness of God. She was loving everyone. She was praying for everyone. And God felt enraptured by this love because it was the love of God in her, in its conception. And therefore, the conception of Jesus took place in her. So Our Lady says, Our Lady conceived Jesus, Our Lady took on the office of co-redemptrix and shared in the embrace together with me all the pains, all the substitutions, all the reparations, and with the maternal love for everyone and for everything, past, present, and future. So we see very clearly that the church will proclaim Mary as co-redemptrix one day. And again, good. This is going to be good for everyone. In the heart, Jesus says, of my mother, there was a fiber of maternal love for every human being, for each soul. And this is why in truth, with divine justice, I was on the cross. I declared my mother, the mother of all of humanity. Our Lady ran together with me. She with Jesus ran together in the love, in the sufferings, in everything. She never left me alone. Even at the crucifixion, how many mothers wanted to stay with their loved ones in their final times, in their final agony? Again, you see the love. I mean, who wants to see someone die? Who wants to see one die an excruciating death? Jesus wanted his mother there. And he says, I declared her mother of all. And she ran together with me in love and in sufferings and everything. And she never left me alone. If the Eternal One had not placed so much grace in the Blessed Mother as to be able alone the love of everyone, he never would have moved from heaven to come down to earth and redeem mankind. He found one who had this love, and he made her Theotokos. He made her the mother of God so that God could come down from heaven and redeem humanity. And then here's the necessity, Jesus says. Here's the convenience that Our Lady had to embrace and surpass in everything as befitting the mission of the mother of the Word of God. What is this mission of Jesus to redeem? What is this mission of the mother of God? Is to love everyone, as Jesus said to John, this is your mother. To really give life. A woman gives birth. A woman is co-creates with God, befitting the mission of the mother of the Word of God. So Jesus says, when an office is unique, as a consequence, nothing must escape the one who has it as mission. He must have everything under his eyes so as to be able to offer the good he possesses. He must be like a true sun in the sky, S-U-N, that can give life to all of humanity. So were I and my celestial mother, the true sun, the true reflection of the sun, Our Lady, the new Adam and the new Eve. This redemption that took place 6,000 years ago is now, which is so great. Now what's happening is a new and divine way of holiness is happening for everyone because of Louisa. Yes, the Son of God. Yes, the mother of God. Yes, the new Adam, the new Eve. But now, yes, the firstborn of this gift, a human born of original sin. That's Louisa. He says, now your mission, Louisa, of making known the eternal will of God, braided with that, with mine and with that of my mother, my dear mother. So here again, with this braiding, as you braid hair, you don't know what part of this hair is, which of these three parts is which. It's all braided together. And that's what God wants. He wants us to be one with him, fused with him in his holy divine will. So blended with Jesus and Mary that we take on the life of Jesus and Mary. Not about being good and holy and saintly like the saints. They were doing the will of God. But to live in the will of God is what Jesus and Mary gave to Louisa. He says, and since it had to serve for the good of all of humanity, it was necessary to centralize the eternal Son of my most holy divine will into one soul born of original sin. He says, I have to start humanity over again. I redeemed, my mother co-redeemed with me on Calvary. And now he says, now we have a newborn. We have the first one who now can possess this life. The saints strived to possess the life of Jesus and Mary with a virtue or two of Jesus and Mary. But Louisa possesses the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. That's why Jesus calls her the newborn, the firstborn of the divine will. So as the eternal son of my divine will is in one soul, Louisa, as a unique mission, this son, this light, this love, this life, let it blaze from Louisa and all might take the good of this light by becoming children of Jesus and Mary like Louisa. This implies that for the decorum, the honor of my divine will, I, Jesus, had to pour into you, Louisa, as bearers and preparations, such divine graces, such divine light, such divine love, such divine knowledges of the divine will, as to befit the residence of the Son of my divine will. That's Louisa. This is another title that Jesus has given to Louisa. Louisa, the residence that befits the residence of the divine will. Even more, you must know this, Louisa. Just as my holy humanity, in its office of Redeemer, conceived all souls, the same was to happen in you, in your mission, Louisa, as the little newborn, an office to make my divine will known and to reign on earth as it is in heaven. As you continue to do your act in my divine will for everyone, past, present, and future, all humanity remains conceived in your will, which is now, as he says, as Our Lady said, you've surrendered your human will. So now your will is the divine will. She doesn't give life to her human will. What was really interesting when Father Bucci talks about being with Louisa, what was really interesting was when people would come to talk to Louisa, it was not about worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. Louisa would say, you know, God is in charge. The kingdom is coming. Your life is supposed to be surrendered to him and his mother. Be peaceful. Be joyful. Be happy. When people call me and say, what do I collect to become a remnant? Where do I need to hide to become a remnant? I say to them what Jesus said to Louisa. He didn't say anything about it. It's to live in the divine will is to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. Why? It's the kingdom's here. It's not about worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. It's not about the things of this life. The kingdom's coming. This life is going to change. What's coming is a new and divine way of holiness. Jesus says this, as you keep repeating your acts in mind, you form many little sips of life of the divine will in order to be able to nourish all humanity as though conceived in you, Louisa. You're the newborn. You're the firstborn. And as they take the sips of Jesus's lessons, Jesus's teachings, Jesus's truths that he gave to you, Louisa, They will be conceived in your understanding by virtue of my divine will. So he says, do you not feel that my divine will, you embrace everyone from the first to the last creature that is to exist upon the face of the earth? You embrace everyone. You would want to satisfy everyone with divine love to please the supreme will. You wish, Louisa, to bind the divine will to everyone, past, present, and future. You, Louisa, want to remove all the obstacles that prevent its dominion in the souls. You, Louisa, want to make known the divine will to everyone. And even with sufferings, you, Louisa, want to expose yourself to satisfy for every human being, past, present, and future, in, with, through, and for this supreme will that so much loves to be known and wants to reign in the midst of creatures. This is you, Louisa. This should be us. If we're reading the Book of Heaven, what we want for humanity is the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Nothing less than that. We want everyone to possess this new and divine way of holiness. So he says to Louisa, Louisa, you, the firstborn daughter of my divine will, it is given to make known the divine qualities, the divine value, the divine good that the divine will contains, and wants to give God wants you, Louisa, to give to humanity the eternal sorrow of the divine will living unknown in each person, the divine will hidden in the midst of the human generations. So what God gives to us is we see our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners. We see the world in misery. We see the world separated from the love of God. This is the eternal sorrow of living this unknown life that God wants us to possess. It's hidden in the midst of the human generations. And then Jesus says, which is even sadder, even more, it is despised. It is offended by the evil ones. It is placed by the good ones, the good people that we all know, at the level of other virtues of the saints. This is not about holiness. It's not about goodness. And it's not about saintliness of the human level. It's to share in divinity, which the priest puts in the chalice, the drop of water into the chalice every day. May we share in the divinity of Christ. The good souls put it at the level of the other virtues of the saints, as if it were a little light lit by man, a matchstick, as compared, as virtues are in comparison with my divine will. And it's not, they don't understand that this gift of the divine will is an eternal son of God in the divine will. They don't understand. And it's not their fault. It's our fault who are reading the Book of Heaven. As you live this, you become peaceful, joyful, and happy. And people say, don't you understand what's going on in the world? Why are you so happy? Don't you see what's falling apart? Yeah, it has to. Jesus says the humanity has to exhaust evil. The devil has to exhaust evil in humanity. It's going to happen. But what happens at the end of that when it's exhausted? The kingdom of God is on earth as it is in heaven. And then Jesus says to Louisa, and he says to us, aren't you happy? Read all the aren't you happies. It makes you happy. And if you aren't happy, then something is wrong. You got to be happy. You got to be joy filled. You got to be peaceful. You've got to be happy. This is the gift of gifts. Nothing compares to this. Nothing compares to this. This is sanctification. This is a divine decree. Jesus says, as creation was a divine decree, redemption was a divine decree, now sanctification is a divine decree. The mission of my divine will is the greatest thing that can exist, Jesus says to Louisa. There is no good that does not descend from this mission of the divine will. There is no glory that does not come from the divine will. Everything comes from the divine will. Everything is centered in the divine will. Jesus says our interior works and those that we have delivered, creation of the angels, creation of the world, creation of men, creation of all virtues, creation of the merits, creation of all predestinations, creation of goods, creation of the glory of the chosen ones, all the mysteries of the infinite love that are still unknown to mankind, of the past and of the present and of the future, all in the one act, in the prime act of God, in the single point of God. God wants us to participate in this. This isn't about being good and holy and saintly. That was for the last 2,000 years. Now Jesus says, I want you to enter into living in the divine will, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. And therefore he says, Louisa, be attentive. He says that to us. Read, study, put this into practice. God is going to show you what this is all about. And it's for our time. Be attentive. Do not waste any more time with doubts and uncertainties. Everything I told you for this mission was necessary, not only for you, Louisa, but for the honor, the glory, the knowledge, the sanctity of my most holy divine will and of its dominion in humanity. It's not by chance God is showing us the other dominion. He's going to be in charge. He is going to win. This other dominion is just going to disappear. And he says, and since my divine will is one-on-one, one was to be the creature to whom I had to entrust the divine will. That's Louisa. One-on-one through which whom it, the divine will, would make its blazing rays blazing to do good to all of humanity had to come from you, Louisa. You, Louisa. Who is this Louisa Picaretta? Jesus gives us a clue with the next part, Louisa and Adam. This is something that is so important. If you haven't read the whole thing on Louisa and Adam, you haven't seen anything yet. So in volume 18, 11, 12, 19, 25, you must know that for one who is called to be the head of a mission, that's Louisa, the more he encloses of the good penetrating into that mission, the more good he shall be able to communicate it to others. That's Louisa. These goods shall be like many seeds that he shall lend to others, so that whoever has the fortune of wanting to acquire those divine seeds of the divine will on earth as it is in heaven may become the possessor of the harvest of those seeds. He says, Jesus says, this happened in Adam, who being the first man was constituted the head of all human generations. Adam was being the head. It was necessary for Adam to possess all the seeds in order to give to others what is necessary for the development of human life. Regardless of the fact that these seeds have been expanded, delucidated, known more according to the goodwill of the following generations to the capacity and the application that they have been used over these very seeds. Nevertheless, Adam had them all within himself. And everything comes from Adam. Now think about it. People with specialties, they go to school for an idea that they have, and then they want to specialize in this idea. Okay. And their whole life now, their specialist is this area that they have specialized in. Adam knew everything. Adam possessed everything. That's what God is going to do for us. In the new era, the new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, we're going to be like Adam, lords of this earth. That's why Jesus keeps on saying, I'm going to dress you in divine nobility. I'm going to clothe you in divinity. Adam was naked because he lost that clothing of divinity. Lost that clothing of nobility, of being a son of God. Adam had everything within himself. That's why everything comes from Adam. And when Adam sinned, we possessed it. So it can be said that in being created by God, Adam was endowed with all the sciences. He knew where everything was. He knew every animal, vegetable, and mineral. He knew how to live this abundant life. What other people learn with so many difficult efforts, reading, studying, putting into practice, focusing, Adam possessed the gift in a surprising way. Adam possessed the knowledge of all things of this earth. Adam had the science of all the plants. He had the science of all the herbs and the virtue that each one of them contained. He had the science of all species of animals and how he should use them. He had the science of music, the science of singing, the science of writing, the science of medicine. In sum, he had the science of everything. And if the human generations possessed medicine, in sum of everything, he had everything. The generations possessed each one of its specific science. Adam possessed them all at once. Adam knew everything. He was in God's image and likeness. He wasn't God, but he was in God's image and likeness. See then how it is necessary for the one who must be the head to enclose within himself all the good that he must share with others. He says, Louisa, the same thing for you, my daughter. Since I, God, have called you, Louisa, as the head of a special mission, more than a new Adam. More than a new Adam. It is here it is not about human sciences, but about the science of sciences. That is the understanding of my most holy divine will. The science all of heaven. And I want you, Louisa, to enclose within yourself, Louisa, all the seeds that my divine will contains. And the more acts that you do in the divine will, and the more knowledge that you acquire in the divine will, the more rays of light you shall place on the sun, S-U-N, of my divine will, so that with greater fullness of light, it shall be able to diffuse more for the good of all human generations in such a way that stirred by this fullness of divine light, humanity shall be able to know with greater clarity the good that my most holy divine will contains. What my holy divine will means, what it means to live in the divine will and the great good to which all of mankind is enriched. That's Louisa. God has given us Louisa. It's everything flows through her. She is a human born of original sin, where Jesus says to the Blessed Mother, we finally found one soul who wants the divine will as we want it. We have finally found someone. And then Jesus, what does Jesus say? We're going to give it to her, because then she will give it to all of humanity. Just what we want. She wants just what we want. And that is the divine will. She wants it done on earth as it is in heaven, which is the fulfillment of the divine will, which is the fulfillment of the Our Father. It's a new beginning for everyone and for everything. Listen to what he says. He says, we'll place the Son of the divine will with greater fullness of light to be able to diffuse more for the good of all humanity in you, Louisa, in such a way stirred by the fullness of light in you, Louisa, they will be able to know with greater clarity the good that my most holy divine will contains and what it means to live in the divine will and the great good with which they are enriched. Aren't you happy? Aren't we happy? And just as I chose Adam as the head, just as I chose a point in heavens in which to fix the center of the sun that was to illuminate the earth, so did I, God, choose you, Louisa, as the center of the sun of my divine will. And the fullness of light that must be so great, this is talking about Louisa, that everyone may be able to enjoy the sun of my divine will. And it will be invested by this divine light, and each one will make it his own. This is why, Louisa, your complete acts in my divine will are needed, as well as the knowledge that I keep manifesting to you, Louisa, in order to form this fullness of light for humanity. She's the one that possesses this gift. She's the one that possesses this gift. Who is this Louisa Picaretta Who is she? She is amazing. Again, when you get to know her, it's not an old woman in bed. It's a beautiful newborn. It's a beautiful newborn in the divine will that Jesus says can't walk, can't talk, can't do anything. I have to take care of this little new one. And this is what he's doing. He's leading Louisa into this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II prophesied about. This new and divine way of holiness that God is calling us to enter into. There's no more worry. There's no more fear. There's no more anxiety. There's no more complaints. There's no more negativity. There's no more sin. That's what's coming. The evil one's leaving. The prince of this world is going. That's why Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno in 1947, this era has come to an end. The new era has begun. This new and divine way of holiness has begun. And Our Lady of Revelation appeared to Bruno 40 days after Louisa died. 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. 40 days after Louisa died, Our Lady descended to earth and said, I am Our Lady of Revelation. I am going to explain to you what's in this book. Volume 20, 10, 26, 26. My love, I want to annihilate my human will in yours, that it may never have life, and that your most holy divine will may have life in everything and forever, in order to repair for the first act that Adam did and return to your supreme volition all the glory as if Adam had never withdrawn from the divine will. That's our prayer. This is every day Jesus gives us a new prayer. Here he's giving us another prayer today. My love, my life, my light, Jesus, I want to annihilate my human will in yours. I don't want my human will filled with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin to live anymore. May it never have life ever again, so that your holy divine will may have life in everything and forever. Why? To repair for the first act that Adam did, to return to you the supreme will for all the glory, as if Adam had never withdrawn from the divine will. See, once this is done, Jesus says to Louisa, it's going to look as if Adam never sinned. Everything is repaired. Everything is redone. That's our prayer in the church. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics and kindle us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. And then you will renew the face of the earth through us. That's the born again. It's more than just being born again. It's to be continuously born again. Never leaving the divine will. Louisa says, oh, how I wish to give back to God the honor that God lost. I wish to give back to Adam the honor that Adam lost because he did his own human will. Adam rejected your most holy divine will, Lord. And I intend to do this act for as many times as all humanity have done their own human will. Do you see how everything's being repaired? Jesus takes us at our word. I intend to do this act for Adam for as many times as all humanity has lived in their own human will. The human will that causes all the evils. The human will that rejected your divine will. Your divine will is the origin, the font of all goods. Therefore, I pray to you, Lord, that the kingdom of the supreme fiat may come soon. This is our prayer. Soon, Lord Jesus. Hurry, Lord Jesus. So that everyone from Adam to all humanity who have done their own human will may receive the honor and the glory that they lost. And that your holy divine will may receive the triumph, the glory, the fulfillment of the return of your children. Jesus has redeemed us. Jesus now wants to sanctify us. This is not about being good and holy and saintly. That's easy. To live in the divine will is the martyrdom of martyrdoms. Never giving life to worry. Never giving life to fear. Never giving life to anxiety. Never giving life to complaints. Never giving life to negativity. Never giving life to doubts. That's where the human will is. So the martyrdom of martyrdoms that God is calling us to is to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. You are my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. You've given to us your mother, Theotokos, Mother of God. You've given us now the little newborn of the divine will, the firstborn of the divine will. May everyone receive the triumph, the glory, and the fulfillment of the divine will. Louisa says, now while I was saying this, my highest good, Jesus was moved and touched and making my first father, Adam, present to me. And he himself told me with an emphasis of love, all special. This is Adam speaking to Louisa. Blessed daughter Louisa, finally, my Lord and God, after so many centuries, has delivered to the light of the day the soul who was to think about giving me back the honor and the glory that I lost, alas, by doing my human will. How I feel my happiness redoubled. Until now, no one has ever thought of giving me back that honor that I lost. Therefore, I thank God profoundly for having delivered you, Louisa, to the light. And I thank you, Louisa, the little daughter dearest to me, for taking on the commitment of giving back to God all the glory as if his holy divine will had never been offended by me. And to me, the great honor that the kingdom of the supreme fiat be established once again in the midst of the human generations. It is right that I, Adam, give you, Louisa, the place that had been destined to me as the first creature that came out of the hands of our Creator. He recognizes that Louisa passed the test. He recognizes that Louisa is now the first. But what does Louisa say? We don't have this here. But Louisa said to Jesus, no, he is the Father. He must receive all the glory. All the credit goes to him as the first father. The humility of Louisa, the little newborn of the divine will. 5/23/11/10/1927. Now, the whole work of Adam would have remained in all creation as the first model for all of his descendants, who would have modeled all their acts in the reflections of the light of Adam's acts. And as the first father, Adam would have been given his divine inheritance to all his descendants, who would have had not only their model, but the possessor of his very acts. What glory would ours, Jesus says, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what glory would ours and his, Adam's, have been to see the work of our dear son, of our precious treasure, who had been given birth by our love, fused with our works. What divine happiness for Adam and for us, the triune God. Here, God has given you a glimpse of how much he wanted Adam to possess this gift. Now, he says very clearly, if this was our purpose for which all creation was created, as well as our dear jewel, that is Adam, it is not right that even though Adam started but did not finish, or rather Adam finished in sorrow, finished in confusion because he rejected our most holy divine will that served him as the first act and made him operate in the works of his creator, we fulfill this, our purpose, in his descendants. God says, Adam failed. Adam lost. He says, but we're going to fulfill our purpose for what we planned for humanity. And it has been 6,000 years, But the 7,000th year is what we've entered into. We have to remember that St. Padre Pio said, the world and the church will focus on Luisa Picaretta and the divine will in the third millennium. God is going to fulfill his purpose to his children, Adam's descendants. And he says this is why I, God, have called you, Luisa, into the midst of my works in all of creation. I, God, have formed the model within which all other humans must model themselves in order to return into my fiat. So he says to Luisa, what I put you through, Luisa, I put no other human through. I crushed you down. You of original sin, I've crushed you down and remolded you to be the model which other souls, he says, must model themselves after in order to return to my fiat. How do we model ourselves over Luisa? As we read the Book of Heaven, we begin to love Jesus the way Luisa did. We begin to love Our Lady as Luisa did. We begin to recognize that our human will has caused all our trouble and that we don't want the human will any longer. Jesus is showing us this. He's asking us to enter into this life. He needs us to cooperate with him. Everything's done. Everything's complete. We have the new Adam. We have the new Eve. Now we have the new born. This is why the evil one, his time is over. And we're going to see this happen. He's going to not win. That's for sure. God is going to win. And everything that he did for the last 6,000 years to destroy the church, destroy humanity, he's been a failure. God wins. God wins. And we're with God. We're one with God. So we'll be back in 15 minutes in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.